Normally it's a, you know, Mike, but you're right. It's dad to you. But yeah, that would be weird. Go ahead, try it.
No.
Dad.
This is season 2 of The Odd Pod. We're going to talk pizza, sports, and beer just like always. This week, we have Jamie Harris from Satellite Gaming on to talk about video games and community outrage. This is The Odd Pod.
All right, so here we go. We're at The Odd Pod, and we have a special guest today. His name is Jamie, and he is with Satellite Gaming, and as with one of his many things that he is trying to accomplish in his life. And so we're going to find out kind of what some of the other things he does, too. So welcome, Jamie.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
So I will tell you this, that was probably the best opening I've ever done to tell you how bad and choppy this really is. And so buckle up.
My wife tells me I bring out the best in people.
Oh, nice.
No, she does not tell me that.
All right, that's good. See, I'm gonna
tell her that though.
This is great. We're gonna prepare for 6 hours of a podcast today because I think Jamie and I could talk for 6 hours. And so and then my son Ian is here.
Yep. We'll let him talk every now and then.
Yeah, we should. Every, you know what? Let's talk about his fashion sense first. Yeah.
No.
You know,
there's a reason why there's no camera in here.
He's got the odd mode drip.
I got basketball shorts on.
Are your socks matching?
Same color.
Same type of sock. Maybe not the exact same kind, but.
My goodness.
Amen.
I mean, you would be like Picasso's muse, is what you'd be.
Absolutely.
By the way you look.
Yeah, you could be in like pajamas and Crocs, but nobody would know about it because it's not a video podcast.
Exactly. And that's why I like doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know. So let's get to the meat of it, you know. Satellite Gaming. You know, I've heard a lot from this knucklehead over here about Satellite Gaming, and he's in essence, in a lot of ways, it's kind of through those years where you've had a lot of impact on him because of those are the kind of those years, you know, between, you know, 18 to 24 are some of the most, I guess, reflective years where kids are trying to figure it out. They're going from being a kid to an adult and things like that. And Satellite Gaming has actually been a pretty big part of that because he was really into gaming when he was younger. And then he, you know, from my side of it, he started helping you, you know. And I know how much he helps. And so, you know, I didn't know how to take that. But I know that, you know, normally what happens is when kids come for work for me, you know, I tell their parents the same thing. Like, oh, my gosh, you know, he really helps. He's been great at work kind of thing. And they're like, what? This is the same child I grew up with? So I have kind of a mixed thing. So I'm assuming he helps.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like when I was a kid, my parents would ask me to mow the lawn. And I'd kick, whine, and complain and eventually get to it. But if I show up at my friend's house for like a couple nights in spring break and I see their grass is a little long, I'm like, oh, Mr. Spearman, would you like me to mow your lawn for you? As I'm getting out of the car, my mom's like, who are you? I'm like, hey, if it's not mom and dad, it's just easier, you know?
There's another side of that, too. The other side of that equation is this. Because, like, when kids start having children and you get to become a grandpa, it's the same kind of effect. Because kids look at you and go, who is this guy?
Yeah, who's this parent? You're so much nicer to my kids than you were to me.
But somebody told me something the other day that I really liked about that, which was the great thing about having grandkids is your children get to see how you treated them when they were young. You know, and I thought that was a really good thing because you get to be googly again. You get to be like, you get to do all the fun stuff again. I mean, really, you really get to do all the fun stuff when you're a child, you know, that's just normal life to you, you know. And then when you're 10 years old, 12 years old, and you start realizing that you know everything, you forget those first, you know, 10 or so years. And so it's kind of nice to be reflective and it really pulls them back to going, oh, yes,
grandkids?
I remember. Not yet.
You look so
you have a grandkitty.
A grandkitty.
I have 5 children between my wife and I. And now we're going to have our third one get married.
Okay.
And so, so we've only got 2 children left that are not married. This knucklehead's one. And then we have another daughter that's not married yet. It's the 2 youngest ones. And so... Okay. But no children yet.
Okay. I can tell you're ready, though.
And so we're not upset about it. I mean, I'm anxious to have grandchildren because I can't wait. I mean, my wife and I can't wait to be grandparents. I mean,
that'd be cool.
And I mean, Ian, do you think your dad and stepmom would be good grandparents?
I think when I pick them up, I would have the, I want to stay. And I'm like, no, you live with me.
It's going to be fun. So it's kind of funny.
After a year or two, you're like, okay, you could stay. Like, yeah. You mom and I just go back home and hang out in the hot tub.
Yeah, it just, about that two-year-old stage, two and a half years is when they go, you know what, you can keep them for the weekend, I'm fine. Yeah. But as a grandparent, we look forward to that. But that's really the luxury of being around family.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you have their help. You have them to be able to buffer those things. You know, you don't feel like you're on an island and stuck with these mangrels, you know.
That's cool.
No, it's good, though. So, satellite gaming. So, he's kind of grown up in your system.
Yeah.
How long did you do satellite gaming before you connected with Ian?
Well, man, Ian played a unique role in that he was part of our original, like, after-school program, like volunteer team.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a faith-based organization. We started through a church, but we didn't really, our programs and our events, even still to this day when we partner with the school district, they're not ministry events. They're community events. So there's no proselytization. There's none of that. So Ian was the first person to come and volunteer that was not like part of our church or part of our body of faith. So it was a really cool opportunity for us to be like, okay, like, as someone who is not, like, sitting in church with us on Sunday, how do you feel about this? And he kept showing up. So I feel like we were pretty inviting.
Let's back up again, because my wife, I'm just in a regular conversation.
Yeah.
And I already kind of know. And my wife always says, babe, not everybody out there has already got that prequel of what's going on. Yeah. You know, they don't know really how you got to the point of just talking like we're talking. So let's back up a little bit. Tell us what satellite gaming is first.
Yeah. So we are a ministry. And our mission is to point students to Jesus by building relationships through video games. So it's three things. It's Jesus, relationships, and video games. And everyone's going to experience the video game part. You kind of work backwards, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's going to experience the video game part of it. We play video games. We host after school clubs. We host programs. Some kids are just there for the video games. They don't even want the relationship. Okay, so let's say we have an after school program. Kid engages in the after school program. They hang out. They go home. Another kid says, hey, my parents are late picking me up, or like I walk home and they like help me clean up the gear. You know, like the kids will help you clean up gear. They'll hang out and you can tell they kind of need that relationship, that mentorship. And we don't try to mentor every kid. But when we find those kids that really want that mentorship or relationship, we then say, okay, how can I like serve this kid in his school context? So we'll come back to the lunches. We'll visit the lunches. We'll be available for the school. I've taught in a few classes. Like, as I travel, I get to, you know, share in social studies about my time around the world. So I get to see these kids throughout the week. And then some of them, they then bring that relationship and they say, outside of my school, what else does satellite gaming do? And then we invite them into other things. And that's when, with some students, when on their terms, when they're ready. And sometimes when we feel like just there's a good opportunity, we do mention Jesus and we mention our faith. And I would be a liar if I didn't tell you that like my hope is to get an opportunity, not just with students, but to share my faith with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, man, there's just such a respectful way to do that. So the reason we start with video games, move into relationships, and then with Christ is some people just don't want to hear about our faith, but we still want to serve them. So we're gonna be like, hey, when we're at schools, like most people don't even know that we're a Christian organization, but they know that we want to serve them. And to me, that's really special. So that is the short version, mostly on how we serve in a local capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Is even though we're a ministry, we're just providing really dope after school programs, events, tournaments, and you know, eventually that's where Ian comes in, is when we start getting into like the bigger events. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know he was all fired up about it and stuff, and he used to come home, and it was nice to see him be passionate about something that, you know, wasn't in his room in the game screen or something, you know, and that could have been wrong. That could have been a little
bit.
I don't
remember telling you that I was going to meet Jamie, and I just realized that. I was like, I was 18, but Jeff and I, you know, be closer. Okay. So Jeff and I, my stepbrother, we saw a listing on Salem League of Legends. Hey, local League of Legends tournament. Come on, sign up if you're a student. And I was like, I just graduated, but I'll reach out and be like, hey, can I be supportive and whatnot? And Jamie reached out and he's like, yeah, absolutely, come by. For volunteers, like having a one-on-one conversation with them. And I met Jamie. I didn't even tell you I was meeting Jamie. So yeah, meeting a random person off the internet to like – go talk about League
As
of Legends.
As gamers, though, it's not like weird. It's like, play League? Okay, we're going to talk about League of Legends for an hour on the internet, or we can like go grab a coffee, right?
Yep.
Like,
and an interesting conversation. I, you know, put my foot in my mouth because at a younger age, I was a lot more angsty because my experience with churches in the past was very, I wouldn't say good. And then also with the internet, it shows the absolute worst sides of different organizations.
Yeah.
So Jamie handled my angst with a lot more grace because I didn't know at all. I was just like, hey, this is a gaming group. I had no idea it was a Christian organization until after I talked to Jamie, and I felt a lot more welcomed, a lot more accepted and respected for the fact that, yeah, I did have a differing opinion, and yeah, I was a little rude, and then he calmed me down. I was like, all right, and then I did the after-school program. I did the events. I had a lot more fun. I'm like, this is actually way more welcoming of the community than I expected initially.
That's exciting for me to hear that. It's cool to hear, like, the other origin story from your perspective. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, from mine, I mean, it was terrifying. No, I'm kidding. No, it was good, man.
He just had a look in his eye. It was good.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like I said, you got to kind of get past, you know, what – there's just so much out there, you know, because it's – I mean, it's like with anything. You know, as a kid, you know, you're almost afraid of the unknown, and you got to be able to be comfortable with the unknown, and then you got to be able to bridge that gap, you know, at some point. So
yeah. For sure. Like somebody could walk in with a Seahawks jersey. I'm going to make a bunch of assumptions, you know, let alone if they walk in with like a cross necklace. You know what I mean?
And it's that's the thing is generationally, you know, like this next generation, they are very, you know, I always feel like the generation that, you know, Ian was kind of the back end of a part of was they went from being 17 to 35. You know, they skipped all that dumb, stupid stuff that I did when I was younger, you know, because with the internet and the information and, you know, you're 13 years old arguing with a 70-year-old person online,
yeah.
You know, and that validates that 13-year-old kid's opinion. And they're not grown yet. They don't have experiences. They don't have all that stuff. The 70-year-old guy is taking it and they're having a conversation like they're from the same spot, you know, and they're trying to, like, he's trying to teach that kid, and the kid's like, you just don't understand. And so I think what happened was they went from being like children to being parents in a way, you know, like parental, thinking that they had to teach people, they had to explain things to people, they had to get the people to understand what they know. And it's like they missed making a lot of that dumb, fun memory stuff in the middle.
Yeah. I would say there's a really cool side of that that says they do have access to information that even I didn't have access to when I was that age. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity and advantage there. And as someone who is a person of faith, like this generation of young people, like right now, even after Ian, they're the most willing to and receptive to talk about the subject of faith. Like it's like not a heated conversation for them. Now you talk about politics and social issues, that's a different thing. But talking about faith and talking about the concept of like something bigger than us, they love that. And I think a lot of that is to the internet. It is to, yes, what can be a vice, but can also be a tremendous blessing in that, like, man, Ian, maybe, I can't speak for Ian, but maybe there was a certain generation of students that, came out of high school thinking they were, you know, had the maturity of an adult because of everything they learned on the internet. But also, like, maybe some of them did. Like, you know,
I think it's hard.
Life experience.
I think it's hard because it takes a long time to grow up.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of experience. I'm 57 years old coming up, and I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as long as you're always willing to keep your ears and your eyes open.
Agreed.
And I think what happened was there was a generation where the ears and the eyes were, you know, like iamright.coms. You know, that's go there and take care of things. You know, that's what you want to really hear. And to support that, and I said, I think we've kind of growing out of that. Like you said, that's what I was kind of leading to, is that next generation as you come up, have you seen much change, or have you seen, are you seeing different crops of kids come through? Are you seeing the evolution of that change? Or, you know, because I deal with employees, you know, from that category, you know, and I think that the hardest thing for me is to get them to try to open up, to look. And I haven't had much luck with, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say much luck with it because we're paying them to be there, you know.
Yeah.
And they've got all their opinions about that, you know. Yeah. But from your side, it's kind of a different thing because you're.
Yeah. Well, I would say this. I think, have you ever tried talking to somebody who speaks a different language than you?
My business partner is Indonesian, by the way.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, I used to be in a company, just so you know, that I was one of, the running joke was I was one of three white guys in the entire chain. It was a 15-store chain of pizza, and they had, I mean, I was, my two bosses are Arabic, one was Malaysian, and then the rest of the 15 stores are all different cultures.
Right.
And so I got to go in there and... You know, and what's funny is how my business partner and I got together was basically I went in there and asked him, you know, I had the opportunity to hear all these different philosophical approaches to family, business, success from all these different cultures. So I love that stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So I love the way you said it was, I mentioned a language, and then even from language you get into to culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We may speak the same language, but it's a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of stuff with people around the world now with satellite gaming. And something that's interesting is if I go to Malaysia or I go to even Brazil, to South Korea, like there is a different culture. I have to act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to... Like if I go to Japan and I just say no, I'm not going to take my shoes off before I go in the house. Like that's going to cause a problem. Like it's going to be disrespectful, right? So we have never ever ever lived in such a, I can't think of a single moment in history where the, because of technology, the generation, the next generation, like over the last, I would say the last three generations, last three decades, maybe let's narrow it down to two decades. Where the cultural difference from parent to child has been so astronomical, like such a huge gap, right? So the reason I'm going this direction is I asked if you ever had a friend that you spoke a different language than. Maybe English was their second language, right? But when we talk to young people in this day and age, what we got to realize is there was a time where if you had a Seahawks, you know, helmet on the wall, like you do here in this room, a teenager could walk in. And it was probably 90% likely that you could talk about that Seahawks helmet and be on the same page. Like there was a common interest right there. All these sports jerseys on the wall. Like so many generations, it was, I played football, my grandpa played football, my kid played football, mm-hmm. his kid played football, and his kid played Fortnite. And what happens is, like, we get this generation where they're into something completely different than us that defines their culture. Like Fortnite defined culture. Like it changed culture. Like, I'm not kidding. The amount of money in it, people are like, oh man, did you see how much, like, you know, Infinity War made in the box office? I'm like, yeah, Call of Duty Mobile made that yesterday. Like we're not understanding, like, over 3 billion people on the planet play video games. So if you're not playing video games now, you're the weird one, right? So,
and that kind of, that's weird because I'm a gamer. So.
Yeah, so my point in saying this is, what I am observing about the next generation is the older generations and the younger generations right now, they do not speak the same language more so than any other generation. Like I said, a dad would play football and the kid would be on the football team. Like when mm-hmm. he's younger, like the dad would be the coach, kid would be on the football team.
Yep.
Now, if the kid plays Fortnite, the dad goes like, dude, I don't care about your skins. Shut up. Can you imagine someone like getting in the car being like, a soccer player like, mom, I got a hat trick. That's 3 goals, right? And the mom being like, dude, shut up, I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore. Like, yeah. That's what happens to a kid who gets like 3 victory royales in Fortnite. Like, mom, I won 3 games of Fortnite. The mom's like, ew, cringe, Fortnite. And it's like, that's your child. Like, that we would never allow that in sports. So I actually come to the defense of the next generation. I have a lot of empathy for them because, yeah, there are a lot of things that we don't understand. Mm-hmm. So when a mom comes to me and they're like, my 10-year-old's addicted to Fortnite. Will you help them? I'm like, oh, mom, your kid is addicted to Fortnite?
Yeah, sounds like your kid needs help. Yeah.
Mom, I need to help you, right? You know what I mean? So I'm not assuming that's what every generation is coming at, but our hope and our goal is to say, yeah, these young gamers do need to be outside more. Yeah, maybe they would benefit from playing some sports. Maybe they would benefit from some more social interactions. But if we wonder why there's so much social angst, is it because they're playing video games or is it because the previous generation does not speak their same language and they feel very alone?
I think there's got to be ways to bridge that gap, but I also think it's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I was a gamer. And so each one of my kids is all different. Actually, all 5 of them are completely different now, but they're all different. Like Ian was into sports, you know, and so I used to be, you know, I worked with Ian in sports and stuff like that. But my middle son, I remember, you know, he, I went to him and I says, hey, dude, you're like starting to come, you're starting to get bigger, blah, 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 blah. But he was more of a reader and things like that. And I go, you know, have you ever thought about just trying football, you know, to see, you know, just try to get him in sports, get him something. Because it's, for me, it's all about presenting them with different ways to do different things. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's the whole growing thing for me. I didn't play football. I played like when I was really small, this stuff. But, and so, and he looked at me and he goes, runs his hands up and down his body, like in a display case, and goes, you want me to injure this? You know? And so I knew football wasn't his thing. And so we just, I would try to introduce different things to him. And he got to that point where he was struggling, you know, and I got involved with him with my brother way back in the day. He used to play D&D, and so I thought that would be good because he was not loving math, he was not liking to read at that moment too much, and he had really a difficult time with social interactions. And so I thought, well, those are the three things you have to do for D&D. But it came from the side of him. He likes the you know, the mystical stuff, the yeah, you know,
the
fantasy, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so I thought that would be a good way for him to bridge his life in real life, you know, because right. being in video games, I really believe that you can really shrink down, you know, and just it can that can be everything, you know. And I think what's difficult is that's where I think the balance comes in. I think you kind of have to balance both sides. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think you need to reward them for the things that they're doing that they're passionate about right. or excited yeah. about, or because it's a whole community.
Yeah.
But I do think that you still also need to be able to bridge that gap and get the balance in there.
Yeah, I think balance is important. But I think if we're talking about the idea of balance, like look at a teeter-totter, right? The teeter has been tottered to one side so heavily for years that like we've got to do something to like add weight to the other side. So here's an example. So let's say you have five kids. Two of them are into – one of them's into Dungeons & Dragons. One of them's in a video game. The others are into t-ball, dance, and basketball. Who's going to be – like just look at what opportunities are in the community. Mm-hmm. Which one is going to have more social opportunities? T-ball, dance, and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of what they're interested in. So what well, I'd say now
– I would say, though, in the video game side of it, too, though, is really if you're on a headset
– yeah.
You're getting your social interaction just differently.
Yeah, you are. But I think if we just look at this, like look at like what society
but physically,
has,
yes,
look at what society has provided, right? So we then go just take five random activities and say we'll provide coaches, mentors, and community mm-hmm. for these three, but not coaches, community, and mentors for these two. Mm-hmm. Already, we're screwing ourselves as a society because these two categories of entertainment do not have the other things. Now do this. Now fast forward 20 years and now 3 billion people are engaging in those other two activities. And how many options are there for in-person, shoulder-to-shoulder engagement?
Mm-hmm.
See, so because we don't speak that language as the previous generation, we're not – people don't want to be – like people my age maybe, but I would say most people your age, if they're going to help with an extracurricular program, it's going to be football. It's going to be basketball. It's going to be maybe dance. You know what I mean? But most people of a generation older than me, they don't want to go – run a video game club, but that's what these kids need. So mm-hmm. where we come in.
Yeah, there's a big gap there.
Yeah, basically what we say is like just looking at the raw numbers, what are mm-hmm. kids interested in and what is available to them? We as the adults need to do something about that. Like, and I'm not, what I'm saying is when Pop Warner, okay, Pop Warner Little Scholars, beautiful story of how it started. In 1929, Northeast Philadelphia, there was like basically a factory was built and a bunch of kids like in this gravel lot here playing football. Playing American football, and it was a tall building, and they're throwing rocks at the windows between plays. So the building starts like losing windows, starts getting shattered. All the money was green, but in the building maintenance department, they were like losing money. I'm like, well, it's because we have to replace windows every single day because these kids are breaking windows. So the business owner calls up Joseph J. Tomlin, who was working as a stockbroker at the time, and he said, "Hey, help me work with these kids. I know you do youth. I know you do football. Get him to stop throwing rocks in my building." He's like, "Well, okay, you need to go out and talk to them and hang out with them and be with them." And he's like, "Your business should offer to sponsor them and build them a football field and put football pads on them and give them coaches and mentors because they're damaging themselves playing in isolation."
I want to back up here a little bit. Yes. Yeah. They were playing in gravel. That's how we did it back in the day.
Yeah.
And he rolled his eyes, but that's the... Do I have a Band-Aid on this? No. I got a lash on my hand.
Yeah.
And my,
but so So my point there is, they played in gravel, and like there's a lot of lessons to be learned about that. But by this business coming in and saying like, hey, let's not isolate them and say like, wow, you're going to cause so much damage doing that. True. But what's going to be worse if they're left alone or if we as adults come alongside of them? Mm-hmm. So instead of it being physical damage, these kids playing video games are receiving like mental, social, I think even spiritual damage by being in isolation and playing alone. By no adults going like, let's do something about this. Let's embrace this. Let's come alongside these kids or they're going to be hurt. So then fast forward a bunch of years, eventually became Pop Warner Little Scholars. Mm-hmm. And it was, let's do something about the pain caused by students playing alone. And that's what we're trying to do with video games is let's do something – the same exact thing. Let's do something about kids playing in isolation, playing alone.
So I have a question on that because I think the one thing about video games is a lot of it is unless they have a headset on, mm-hmm. they're really not communicating with anybody but the screen.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that I was curious about. And it's one of the things that I actually – you know, when Ian got involved with Satellite Gaming, he talked to me about the structure you guys had. I told him, please understand, this is their primary goal in the very end of this is going to be about Jesus and the religion and what you want to do. And I said, and they're finding ways to bridge that gap. And I love the way you did that. And I really was very positive about what Ian was trying to do in the sense, but understanding it, you know, like how you guys are doing it and all that stuff. And so I think the thing that, taking it away from like when they play video games is we used to have LAN parties and things like that. And I was the lamb for slaughter basically because these guys would, what'd you say?
Target.
Yeah. They would walk, I would be shooting a machine gun at them and I'm all over the place and they just come up with a knife and stab me and I'd be dead.
Yeah.
And it was just so frustrating for me. But again, I was trying to bridge that gap, you know, and get to understand. But what's hard is they used to spend so much time, and I know that the gaming industry has really expanded. And like, you know, when we first got headsets to be able to talk to my friends, I mean, as an adult, I'm like, this is the greatest thing in the world, you know, because I could talk to Charles and I got, you know, and you actually could start doing that. But again, so how do you take it from that? And because, like you said, you're doing support, which I guess in a way there's so many different ways you can offer support. You know, I mean, you can, you know, after they get done, you can talk about their victories and their losses. You can talk about, you know, different things like that. How do you bridge that gap? I mean, when they get done playing the actual game, is it the community and the atmosphere that you're providing them to play those games in that makes them feel comfortable, and then they feel more comfortable to communicate with you outside of the game? And then how do you take it from that to, you know, like, how do you expand on that, I guess, the best ways?
Yeah, so we have 5 steps for how we engage our ministry.
Okay.
For how we engage in our program, really, everything we do. And it's not until that last step where we have, like, spiritual conversations. Mm-hmm. And most kids that engage in our program will never have those conversations for 2 reasons. One, because we're not about shoving it in their face. We're not Bible thumpers. I think Ian, as someone who views the world a little differently than me, you can vouch for us and say we are not Bible thumpers.
Yeah.
Ian led one of our clubs. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to knock on other like religious groups, but I'm going to knock on other religious groups. A lot of people say like, no, if you don't believe what we believe, you can't be near our kids.
Yeah.
For us, I was like, we want to solve this community issue of adults not coming around young people and supporting them in the gaming, not in a way of like making stabs at them, but more saying there are not enough adults that want to be around kids playing video games with them. And Ian was one that wanted to do that. So we're like, let's do it. Like, let's go. So
he has a big heart for that.
So for us, those 3 first steps is show up in their lives. Engage with them in a very like caring way. Like, wow, I really like what you did in that game there. Or like, wow, tell me about what game you're playing. Because I know when you celebrate with your parents, they just go like, shut up about Fortnite. You want to talk about football, you know? And it's like, it's serious.
It's
serious.
Not an either or though, too, though. You know, I know there's different things out there, but I see what you're saying.
But statistically speaking, it's more common.
It's a communication thing. Yeah. And it's a different generation.
It's a different generation. I don't mean it as a knock on the parents at all.
Yeah.
It's just the reality is we've never had a generation where, again, in football, right? It started with the parents, and then it was sent down from the parents to the kids. So parents learn, parents teach kids. Parents learn, parents teach kids. All of our social interactions,
there's a comfort.
Everything.
There's again, the
video
atmosphere.
Video games is the opposite. Kids learn video games, and then they want to teach the parents video games. But it's like, wait a second. what does that look like? So the what we're saying is when it goes from video, just playing video games, to then what? It is, I would say, the most important thing is that we're showing up in their lives and we're playing their game. What do they want to play? We're going to play that. We're going to hang out with them. We're going to spend time with them. And then if they join our online community, if they come to our other events, if they get that, they're going to get into a relationship with one of our leaders, one of our mentors, background checked adults that really care about building healthy environments in the game. And then they're going to see an example in us what healthy online interactions. So it goes from playing their game, engaging with them, to then building community and setting a healthy example, right? Mm-hmm. A healthy example for what does it look like to have a healthy relationship with video games? So if we have a leader that has a very unhealthy relationship with video games and they're not paying their bills, they're not holding a job, they're burning every relationship they have, maybe you're not the best person to be mentoring these kids, right? So we make sure that these adults, we're not perfect. Like, not at all. Like, my wife is my accountability partner when it comes to video games. Like, if I start playing League of Legends again, she's like on heroin watch, right? Are you going to start getting so deep in the League of Legends sauce that, like, we're going to lose you every night? You know, and it hasn't
been like
that. And
that's that balance I was trying to say.
Yeah, so it's accountability, right? I have that in my wife, and then I bring that accountability in with the students. And we really address that. And as we build relationships with young people, I have about 15 young men that grew up in our program that I mentor. A couple of them are still in high school, but most are young adults now. And if you ask any one of them, most of them, I have a pretty tight relationship, about 10 to 12 of them, like, would Jamie let you get away with, like, being lazy? They'd be like, absolutely not. So yeah. I've become a father figure to a lot of these kids. A lot of them have great fathers, but their fathers didn't play video games. They didn't come around them and teach them how to play video games in a healthy way. So, no, I don't tolerate laziness. I don't tolerate isolation. But I tell you what, if they have the day off and they want to play League of Legends for 10 hours, as long as I can join them for a couple hours, we're good. But once you have kids, I can tell you that 10 hours is going to go away. You know what I mean? So it's season of life. It's different balance. I think,
I think you're doing the same thing that, because at the pizza place, we kind of take them from that child to adult mindset. You plant those seeds and you hope they develop, and, you know, some get a little quicker than others. Yeah. Some struggle with it, you know, and things like that. It's like, that was the one thing that I really, when he was getting involved with Satellite Gaming, we talked a lot about that kind of stuff, but because I was just wanted to know, you know, what you guys were like. Yeah. You know, what are you being surrounded by, and all that stuff. And I was really supportive of that because of the foundation outside of the gaming side. Yeah. Because he was very passionate about the gaming side, but probably more so he was passionate about, you know, mentoring children and you know, showing them that, you know, he as an older person you can care and all that kind of stuff, and outside of the game being there for them and speaking their language in a lot of ways.
For a lot of these kids, I don't play Fortnite anymore, but like during COVID I played a lot of Fortnite. And for a lot of these kids, I was the only adult in their life that could keep up with them in Fortnite, and they loved it. They loved the fact that like a 30-year-old guy would cook them every now and then in a video game. You know what I mean? They're like, it would like get them even more excited and more enthused because, like,
I don't know what that feels like.
I would say the closest example to that would be like, oh, the coaches are going to play with the players now. Oh my gosh, it's a 4v10. We got this.
Yeah.
But they're adults, and it's a good interaction. Yeah, it's like, it's 100% purely for fun. It's not. There's a little bit competitiveness to it, but it's not a
no.
And now they all destroy me at Fortnite, right?
Yeah, so it's funny how that.
Yeah, there's like this. There's like, but like, we all know, like, we all played sports, right? So we all know I played a lot of sports growing up. So I remember those games, and I remember that moment where like I beat my dad in my first game of horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like,
I think those are super important.
Yeah. Or like for my family it was hunting. Like when I got my first deer without my dad's help, like, oh my God. Goodness, like it was amazing, it was beautiful. But these guys that play video games, like, they don't get that. Mm-hmm. So I want to say, okay, are there innately negative things about playing video games? I would say, yeah, like, you're not moving your body, you're in isolation. I would say anonymity is one we haven't even talked about yet, but like, I think it explains, and we can talk about this if you want, but it explains a lot of the social anxiety that gamers have. There's a lot of psychology in that, where when you're playing video games online, you're anonymous. No one can see the zits on your face. No one, if it's a text-based game like League of Legends, no one can hear the squeak in your voice because you just hit puberty. No one has any idea what age you are. And if you're better than them, you're just going to talk trash, right? But if that little, you know, 13-year-old kid, you know, shows up at a grocery store and realizes, oh, that dude's like 6'5", 270 pounds of meat, I'm not talking trash. So they put their hood up, put their mask on, and they hunch over because suddenly they're not the big boy on campus anymore, right?
I think so, what's crazy about that, though, is actually can create bigger gaps than, you know, like dealing with without that, you know, like because when you have that kind of power, you know, behind the screen, basically, and then you have the lack of power at that level outside.
Which explains why they're so anxious.
And that's the thing about that, the bridging the gaps. That's why I say, you know, there's balance and there's got to be bridging the gaps. You got to understand that, you know, when you say these things or you do these things, you got to be held accountable. And so that's why I'm so curious about it.
Yeah.
Because like with all my kids being so different, you know, I try to support them in the things that try to strengthen what they are passionate about. You know, like all of mine were different. You know, my daughter was really into the artsy kind of stuff. So we used to go do ceramics. We used to do, you know, that kind of stuff. Not my strength, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and then, you know, Ian was sports, and that was more my strength. But I only played a couple different sports because back when I was a kid, it was like, you're short, you're stocky, you're a wrestler. Right. I wanted to play basketball. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to play basketball. It's like, no, you're only 5'3". You're not playing basketball, you know? And so I wrestled, and I played soccer. Ended up playing soccer and all that kind of stuff. So even though that's funny, it's like even back then, I couldn't even play the sports I wanted to play, you know, because of that. And so, but when, you know, when the kids got up, I started coaching, and I got to coach from the kids' perspective. And so I did a lot of that kind of stuff. So the stuff that you're doing, I really resonate with. I really enjoy listening to what he had to say, you know, what Ian had to say about what you guys were doing.
Right.
And even though he didn't grow up in really a religious household in a way, that was more of an encouragement to me than the other side, you know.
What I don't want to do, and I can get this way, what I don't want to do is point at sports and be like, oh, it's a bad thing. Like, no, not at all. What I actually am trying to do is say there's a lot of things in sports that we need in video games. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we have enough people doing it. So, for example, if we said how many kids play football, how many adults are passionate about football, how many adults want to invest in those kids that are – how many adults that are passionate about football want to invest in the kids that are passionate about football? Yeah, there would be a good ratio. But if you said how many kids are passionate about video games, how many adults are passionate about video games, how many adults that are passionate about video games want to invest in youth that are passionate about video games, the ratio is so broken.
No, I can't.
It's
sad. Yeah.
So to me, if we look at the rise of anxiety, the rise of depression – maybe let's take the activity out of it, and maybe let's not make it about football and say, well, football players aren't as anxious as gamers. No, let's take the activity about it, and maybe let's just say those kids have adults that want to pour into them. These kids don't.
Like, I guess that's the thing.
That's scary to me.
Because I get it. We
need more adults doing it.
Because there's more hands-on. There's more actual physical things. So how do you – because I know what you're saying, because a lot of times kids get into video games – in a lot of ways, because it's an activity that a lot of parents can go, just go do your thing.
Yeah.
I got my thing to do. And especially nowadays with selfies and everything else going on, you see so many parents that are actually becoming more about themselves. And, you know, you see a lot of the families that struggle from that.
It can be tempting for me, bro. Like, I'll be sitting on my phone and my kid's screaming, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
I don't even have games on my phone, just so you know, because I have
a
problem with it. I mean, I have a problem with it, and I know that because I love them so much. Like I said, I grew up with a gamer. I grew up with my mom worked graveyards as a nurse, and so as kids, we were TV kids. You know, when Pong came out, I was Pong all day long, you know. Yeah. And, you know, growing up with Asperger's and, you know, ADHD like I did. I don't know if you've noticed, I've taken this pin apart 17 times since we've been talking. No. And the thing is it's... it was a release for me, but you're right, that just created such a gap socially. Yeah. So sports actually was what gave me that balance. And so
so we either need to make our kids play sports, or we need to say...
I don't think it's all sports. I think it's the other side of the balance. So my question that I'm going to ask is, with that, what's the other side of that balance? So take sports out of it, because I know that can be the other side of it, but it doesn't have to be. So how do you bridge that gap? Because I think you could do a lot of different community stuff or things like that, where you actually physically got to deal with people in a different capacity. Like, sports kind of forces you to be involved with people because you're involved in these different things, and you get coaches and you get all that kind of stuff. And having parents that are so not involved with the games and all that kind of stuff, again, that creates a bigger gap. So I know that that's what you guys are doing, is bridging that gap. But I mean, that's what I think where the big balance is how can we drive people to get the other side of that
So this is
equation.
A good plug for me. This is a good plug for me. So I would say two things. One, at our events, we started noticing parents would show up at our video game events. They started to. About our second or third event, we had like 120 kids and probably like 30 parents. It was different than a football game, though. At a football game, the parents come in with their kid's number on, with their jersey on. They're like ready to cheer. You know, the dad's got like number one on his chest.
But that's what's comfortable. That's what they grew up with, too.
That's what they grew up with, right? Parents came to our video game events, like, pardon me, but they're like, what the hell's going on in here? You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know. They didn't know what to expect. They're like, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I was not mad at the parents at all. But then we had a mom crying, and she's like, this is the first time I've ever seen my kid talk to a girl. Like, this is the first time my kid's ever been celebrated. Yeah. And I'm like, that's because your kid is a freaking G at Fortnite, and he is destroying everyone. It was actually Overwatch at the time. And now, like, he's, like, the hottest thing here because people are like, wow, you're so good, right? And it's so for the first time ever, this nerdy little Magic the Gathering loving kid got to experience that spotlight. And this spotlight that, like, the most misbehaved kid in his school that could throw a pigskin ball got every single day. You know, this is a good kid, good grades, very involved, just very socially awkward, but is good at Overwatch, right? So my point was we started realizing there was a gap between parents and their kids. So we started seeing where students compete and parents learn. That's what these events would be, and we started offering education courses for parents. And we actually just released a course online. And David Miller, who runs our curriculum and education department, is going to be offering a workshop on April 26th at New Hope Foursquare on Corden Road, Swigel Road. April 26th, we're going to have a tournament, and David is going to take the parents in a separate room away from all the noise, and he's going to talk to them about video game behaviors. We're going to have some professionals in the room, people that are psychologists in video game. They do play therapy with video games. Hopefully a game developer is going to be there, and they're going to talk about, like, hey, if your kids like video games, not all hope is lost. Actually, your kids might be the geniuses that, like, shape the future. So point being, we come alongside of parents. We offer parent education. I think what is hard is parents got to at some point acknowledge, like, yeah, I don't understand my kid. And instead of pulling my kid out of that space, sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to pull your kid out of the basement. Like, just straight up, sometimes that's the best thing for that kid. Get him away from the video games. Mm-hmm. But I think something that could be so helpful and so beautiful is if a parent just understands a little bit more about that video game. Instead of scoffing when your kid talks about Fortnite, we're going to equip you with, how do you just ask really cool, compelling questions that allow your kid to talk about Fortnite in an engaging way? Because a kid can talk about Fortnite like this, like, oh my gosh, today I was playing a game and I found a llama and I got second place, and then I played again and there was 10 people left, and then I'm like, and you're just like, oh my gosh, shut up, like, because it's annoying, right? But what if we equip parents on, like, let's just teach you how to speak their language? So we have a class called 5 Things You Need to Know So Video Games Don't Ruin Your Kids. And it's just an online course that you take. It walks you through. It's pretty straightforward. And it's actually really, really helpful. We had some parents help put it together. We had some people that work in athletics, that worked in, like, sports education, help us create it. And it's really cool. I'm really proud of David for putting it together. But the point is, bridging that gap, I think it requires two things. One, somebody to come alongside these kids that understands them, that is not afraid to tell them, like, dude, stop playing so many video games, or, like, stop being such a jerk to your parents when they tell you to get off, right? So they need that mentorship. Okay? Yeah. We need to, you know, these kids need that.
The thing is, if it's coming from somebody that plays and is in their world,
the language, right?
That is an adult, that can, that's the whole bridge in the gap thing, because parents, it's like.
Well, and then what we do is we teach the parents.
That's the important part.
If a mom comes to me and she says, my 10-year-old's addicted to Fortnite, you need to fix them, I'm going to be like, mom, you just told me your 10-year-old's addicted to Fortnite. Whose fault is that? Yeah. Like, your kid's 10, dude. That's on you. So we also, as challenging and as it's going to take some humility on the parent's side, for parents to just admit, like, yeah, my kid speaks a different language. Style of gaming, we help me learn that language just a little bit. I'm not saying every mom needs to play Fortnite with their kid. But what I am saying is, what if instead of the basement where your kid plays Fortnite being the darkest, scariest place, what if on the weekends your house became the spot where every kid in the community felt safe because you bake them cookies that are shaped like llamas and you let them play Fortnite in your basement for a few hours every Friday night? Yeah. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that's
like,
that,
how cool would that be?
See, because you know what's funny is I think that, because I did coaching, you know, for sports. And there's a lot of unhealthy things that go on in sports as well. Yeah. So it's not
just
the
adults around them to help correct, course correct, right? Hopefully. more opportunities for that. Right. That's
my, I think what's interesting is when it came to sports, I was there because I wanted to teach the kids something about, you know, not about like just winning. Yeah. But it was about
life lessons.
It was about team, being a teammate, being, yeah, you know, understanding the game. You know, I had this program that I used to do with the kids that used to make them crazy, the parents crazy, because all they wanted to do, a lot of them just wanted to win.
Yeah.
My kid's the fastest. He's the running back. My kid could throw the best. He's the quarterback. And it was like, that was what they did because the parents kind of projected that onto it, you know. Yeah. And for me, it was like I used to do this thing where every kid had to run the ball 3 times in game.
Okay.
And a lot of people are like, well, wait a second. How can you do that? I'm like, there's 22 kids. I'm like, yeah. And every one of them should understand what that feeling is like. Because Jacob, when he played like really young football, because when I told you that story about, when I told you about the story, when he goes, do you want me to injure this? Is when it became into high school ball and things like that. Yeah. But he played like 8, 9 year olds. And so he was, and as an 8 year old out there, I asked him, you know, at the end of the year, I'm like,
That's so cute. Was he all in like the football pads and everything too?
He played flag. Okay. He never got into the pads.
That's so
he
even
got into the
Still
pads.
Fun,
and he was my little green speed bump, is what I used to call him. I wrote a story about him for school. And it's kind of a cute story too. But the thing was, is so Jacob came to me and I asked him, so what did you think about, you know, what was your favorite part of the year? And he goes, when I ran the ball. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, you ran the ball twice, you fumbled the first time, and you lost 4 yards the second time. Now, I didn't say that to him, but that's in my head. I'm like, oh, well, that's cool, you know?
That's super
and
cool.
And he grew up. So the next year, I realized that how that moment was the most important piece to a kid. So if they got to run it 3 times in a game, they knew that because you start the first game, you see all these different kids kind of running the ball. And you got the kids that always get stuck on the offensive line or the defensive line, you know. And I just wasn't into that. I was like, no, you need to know what that feeling is. Every kid should have that feeling. And parents would lose their minds over this. And I'm like, how can you not understand the bigger picture here, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of those types of things, you know, because, like, those kids get stuck here. These kids get stuck there.
Well, it comes back to purpose, right? Like, well, if you're going to be on my team, this is the purpose of my team.
Yes.
There might be teams, and you might even have times where we want to win, right? But, like,
thing is we had there wasn't a single year that I coached that we weren't almost in the championship game, if not in the championship game every year.
That's so cool.
And the thing was, like, I used to coach, like, autistic kids and things, and they'd become my middle linebackers.
Yeah.
And I'd say, okay, here we go, you know. And I'd say, as soon as I tell you which kid to get, you got to go right after him,
They're
you know.
Gonna get him, dude.
And they would stand right next to me and go, that's the one right there. And so they just bolt, you know.
Yeah, man.
And the thing is just understanding those and trying to bridge those gaps. And that's so when I ask you, it comes from the side of, you know, I think it's important for balance. I think that, you know, to have a kid playing 10 hours of video games, you know, every night or every on the weekends, that your whole weekend is dedicated to video games and that's it. And it's because you can tuck them away. Yeah. You know, parents, it's like they don't need to bridge that gap because, you know, whatever.
Needs to be with purpose. Needs to be done with purpose.
And if the thing is being able to be involved with them in the video games and that understand that they can actually support that side of things so they can bring that to the other side. Like you say that, you know, it's like that whole planting seeds and the accountability and all of those types of things I think could be worked into it to show them how to be responsible. I think that's the challenge. And I do think that if parents do not have any clue how much they can get out of a child playing video games is I think where a lot of that gap to me is. You know, if they can't see that they're learning this and they're learning that and they have to learn this, they got to read this, they got all those strengths that they have and then go from that and say, hey, I need to add these other sides, these other things that they need to learn to help bridge that gap. Because I think that video games in itself has a lot to offer a kid intellectually, you know, a camaraderie, you know, all those types of things are in video games and that community.
Agreed.
And the thing is I understand what you're saying, that there's a huge gap between adults, because I think what you said earlier really impacted me as far as like, because I was a gamer, but these guys would crush me all the time, age of 10, you know. And the thing is, but I was a gamer, and I think about all these parents that don't have that. It's such a new thing, and I didn't speak the language, and I'm involved in it, you know. So these guys just run circles around me. So, yeah, I could completely see how you're saying that, you know, parents used to teach kids. And nowadays it makes, you know, some parents crazy, especially me in some situations, that kids feel like they need to teach parents. But when it comes to gaming, I mean, that's really – that is a pretty big gap.
Yeah.
And I,
well, And I think for that, I will take like a little bit of a spiritual segue, because I think there's a good lesson to be learned whether you're passionate about the Bible or not. There was mm-hmm. a time where Jesus was like sitting on this rock and he was teaching a lesson, and all these kids wanted to come and sit on his lap. And his disciples, his followers, which were actually like young adults, maybe even teenagers, they were like, dude, kids, get away. Like, leave Jesus alone. Jesus was like, no, let the kids come, because, man, if you have a faith of a child, you have everything you need. And he said it a little differently than that. But what he's communicating is like, man, sometimes we as adults, we need to understand that the perspective that a child, that a student, that a young person brings into, like, again, video games, sports aside, sometimes like just allowing kids to impact us and teach us from that, like that just passionate perspective of what it means to be a kid, we can learn so much. And it just so happens that that perspective right now has a lot of Fortnite in it. So I think what that would look like is all these kids wanting to come to talk to Jesus about Fortnite in like 2024, and all these people be like, dude, Jesus isn't here to talk. I picture Jesus going like, no, let him talk about it. Let's talk about some Fortnite. Like, I think Jesus would be really willing to do that. And so for me, whether you believe he's God in the flesh or that he was a real historical person, and he did some really radical things. He did some cool things. So for me, I want to follow that example in how we serve young people. And I want to realize sometimes I need to put myself below them and say, like, kids, what do you have to offer me? I think it's just such a cool, again, whether you believe it's a spiritual story or not, it's a cool story in history where a really wise man said, nah, man, kids got cool stuff to teach us. That's what we try to lean on a lot of times.
Mm, I think that's great.
I was going to segue into the outlet that video games has provided not only me, but other students as well. I would say in 2018, I was going through a really rough patch. I had two grandparents going through cancer. And video games is an outlet because I was able to hang out with friends, chat with people. Like, I had access to anyone I needed at any given moment. Where it's, oh, you're not online? Okay, cool. Well, I have three other friends that are online. I was able to communicate with them. And I was like, I'm an adult going through adult problems, using this as an outlet. How do kids use this as an outlet? Like, what are their problems? Oh no, my battery died on my phone. Worst day of my life.
Amen.
And it wasn't until that fall term that came on, I was doing the after school programs. I don't remember which middle school it was, but it was middle school, and an after school program lady came in and she quieted down the students, normal event, normal day that happened. And I was like, all right, hey guys, calm down. I know we're getting a little rowdy, you know, playing some Smash Bros. Dial it down a little bit. But then she stayed for a minute and says, hey, I need everyone's attention. I'm like, oh, am I in trouble? Oh, well, here we go. But then she got a little serious and she got choked up. And I'm like, okay, this is a different kind of conversation. She let me know, and everyone in the after school program, that one of their fellow classmates was no longer with them. I'll say that. And it got really quiet, and I was like, hey, she's like, hey, if you need anyone to talk to, if you need to talk to a counselor, you need to talk to me, you're more than welcome to, you know, please, 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 please reach out. Because that student that was no longer with him didn't reach out, and that's what caused that. And it hit me like a truck, and I was like, I was 19, 20 at the time, and I'm like, how in the world do I, like, communicate with these students? Like, I never dealt with this in middle school. Like, I heard some of it at the tail end of high school, but I didn't realize how big of an issue it was.
Yeah.
And I talked to the after-school lady, and I said, hey, you know, how big of an issue is this? Like, is this just out of nowhere? Like, and she said, no, there's been 11 students that has passed away that term alone. And it just crushed me. Like, hey, took care of it, cleaned everything up. And I called you afterwards, and I was like, dude, this just happened. And, you know, you calm me down. You're like, hey, you know, this is why we do what we do. You know, we create an outlet, create a positive environment for them so that if they need to reach out to someone, we can. And I was like,
they have an option.
They have an option.
I have an adult that I can think of. His name's Ian. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I, like, reached out to students and said, hey, like, I'm not a professional, but if you want someone to talk to, reach out to me.
Yeah.
Being like, I can try getting you set up with the right resources, but, like, I'm a friend. I'm here to help you guys.
Yeah. I love that, man.
I think that's the one thing that I liked about satellite gaming for him. And what you guys were doing is because he had a positive option that I could believe in, you know, like versus there's a lot of other options out there. You know, I mean, there's gangs, there's all types of things out there. Cause I think it, especially when you're younger, you're looking for that community. You're looking for that connection. You're looking for somebody to empower what you're passionate about too. You know, even the ones that are struggling with all the different things. Cause you know, everybody grows up differently. And then, I mean, I found out some things with kids that I grew up with that I was like, I had no idea. You don't even think about it, you know. And so people have their own struggles. So I just applaud you for that because, I mean, really, it was an important piece of Ian's life growing up and stuff. So
It's cool to hear that, you know, that story. I remember that. It's like, you know, you're in the heat of, like, running the organization, doing the work stuff, and I'm, like, trying to serve you, and all these other people got things going on. But it's really cool to hear that, like, at that moment really impacted you. And I hope that I was a good support for you then. And if not, I hope somebody was. You know what I mean? Like, that's really – it sounds like you were an option for a lot of those kids. So I'm grateful for you, man. I think it's super cool. Mm. When you're ready to run an after-school program again, let me know.
I am dying to get back involved.
Yeah.
I just got to get a set schedule. And
yeah, dude. Be good.
I don't know. So April 26th.
So, yeah, April 26th. April 26th is going to be our community event. It's our big event where we have some Oddmo's pizza, and we...
Oh, yeah, this is the Odd Pod.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Odd Pod.
Yeah, we have some Oddmo's pizza, and, man, we just get down on some video games. So we'll have Fortnite, Smash Bros., Minecraft, like a little creative tournament. They'll have different themes to build around. It's gonna be super cool. And then we're bringing FIFA. It's actually gonna be FC, the new variation of FIFA. But we're really excited about it. Gonna be four different games. Probably, I don't know. I mean, if we have 100 kids, I'll be cool with it. It'll be more than that, more than likely. But we used to have like 500 show up, and it was just too much. So we're purposefully trying to keep it within like just the right amount of chaos, you know what I mean? The, uh-huh. Like controllable chaos. No, I think there will be a couple hundred kids that show up to compete. So I'm really excited about it. And then, of course, for parents, come and get some education courses for free on how to.
Hey, I will wrap my PS3 up and bring her down. I mean, it's funny, though, but I don't, now that all my kids are out of the house, yeah. I really don't play games anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, I play every once in a while.
Yeah,
but like I said, I got a PS3 with like Madden 12 in it, okay. You know,
nice.
And so I don't really, it was really something that they loved. And so I learned how to play League of Legends,
okay.
Which I think was an awesome game.
Yeah. Very mechanical.
Twitch was my guy,
okay.
You know.
Nice. A little poisonous rat.
Yeah. And then they got me into Magic. And so I did that for a little bit. And I still play D&D once
like
a week.
Bunnies out of hats and stuff?
No.
Imagine Gathering.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. You play D&D still?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sick. Actually, that's I've cool. got my stuff here because we play here on the table,
nice.
And so I've got my grids and all that. But basically, it was and my son got a little bit busy, but Jacob it's hard now with their age that they are now is to find time.
Yeah,
you know, I live in Sweet Home; they live here. They've got jobs. I've got jobs. I've got sheep and chickens to deal with out there, and so it's hard to find time. And so, trying to do different things to find time to be with them. To still be kind of a part of their lives, because normally you find that a lot of families just kind of start spreading apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got their own lives, they got their own things going on, and so it's just difficult. We have one that lives up in, you know, the Bend area, one that lives in Florence, you know, one, you know, lives in Corvallis, sure. And then the two there in Salem. So my son, Jacob, was playing with us, and then his schedule didn't allow him to continue to play, but I'm still kind of playing it because I feel like that will really help him in at some point, you know, and
That's cool.
But we do lunch. But for the most part, though, they'd still do that, you know, cool. For that reason. But I don't do it much anymore. We don't really have that kind of a relationship anymore. Because I was terrible anyway. But we can still communicate about it.
Yeah,
you know.
That's cool. I like it, man.
But the 26th. And so you say April 26th.
Yes.
And it is where again?
At New Hope on Swigel in Salem.
New Hope on Swigel.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know that we have a lot of pizza boxes that go out, and if are we sponsoring this or just bringing you pizza?
I mean, I don't know. Should I share the secret? I mean, well, we get.
What'd you get me into, Ian?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Noah.
We buy pizza, and I think we get treated fairly. Am I supposed to? I don't know.
I think they do $10 per box.
Yeah.
I think you still have the record for the biggest order that's ever come out of Kaiser.
I think
you're close to maybe the biggest that's ever come out of Lancaster.
That's cool.
For orders.
How many pizzas is that?
For Kaiser, I think the big event that they did, that was over almost 400, 500 kids, that one was, I think, 80 extra larges.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That was a fun day.
Yeah.
Because I got to sit at the event hanging out with kids, and I got to keep watching the drivers come back drenched in sweat going... More? And I was like, Yeah, more.
and just this is to let you and any others know, we do have a couple more business sponsor slots. So.
All right.
We do have those, but no, you guys well, hooked us up with some pizza, so it's pretty cool.
So I got a couple questions on that then, because, you know, there's other ways we can help you.
Yeah.
You know, we can put stuff on top of our boxes.
Yeah.
If you come up with like a 5x7 piece of paper before an event or something like that, and you want to promote it for different ways, it's good to have that physical information in front of people, because, you know, you hear it on like a podcast or a radio station or whatever like that, and it's like, do they have a pen available? You know, how are they getting all that information down? And so it's a way we can help you build what you're trying to build. And so if you want to do that, we can put those on top of our boxes. And so if you have
leading
up to the event. Yeah, so if you have like a week before the event, we can just dot all of our boxes with these flyers.
Cool.
And all it is basically a big sticky note that says, hey, by the way, we're having an event and this is what it is. Cool. And we do it for a lot of different things in the community. You know, I try to support a lot of the small businesses that don't maybe have the finances to do it.
Yeah.
And some of them take them up on us and some of them just think, wait a second.
You're trying to get out of
it. Why are you trying to do? You're not doing it for free. You know, I'm like, that's exactly why we're doing it. We have a platform. We can help you do this. Yeah. And so I'm 100% available for, you know, all the stores in the Salem area if you wanted to try to go outside the community and you could do that. But I think that if you focus on the ones that we have in the community, then, and week before the event, it only takes like 500 because 85% of our customers are once a week.
Okay.
And so if you do that, it may be a good way. And you may be able to put on that piece of paper that parents are welcome or that parents are encouraged or something like that to say, hey, we got a special class that helps you understand the passion that your child has about this, you know, the Fortnite, which I have never played before, but it would probably, I got stuck in World of Warcraft.
Hey,
oh my goodness.
My dad played that a lot.
Oh my goodness.
Does. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah. My dad's the one that taught me how to game, man.
I didn't even know that was still around, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. WoW is huge still.
What level can he get up to now? Because I remember when like the highest was 40, then the highest was 60, and then the highest was 80.
I don't even know. Somebody's going to say shame on you for not knowing. But I mean, it's like 80 or something like that. It's like 80, 90, maybe 90. I don't know. Yeah. It's big, but there's so many people that play now. And what they did too, this is cool, they brought back like vanilla World of Warcraft, so like in its original state.
Oh.
Right? So like, you know how like it's so far ahead now, there's all these bells and whistles, and it's like you gotta like read an encyclopedia to even like start playing the game. No, they released servers that are like back on the original like patch. So like, you just play the original game. And that would
that's for old guys like me.
Yeah, man. But it's
because games are getting crazy, and that's why I say with the video games, they could really teach the kids a lot of stuff about research, about all that kind of stuff. But somebody's got to be in their ear saying, "Hey, do you see how you did this?
Agreed.
If your car breaks down, you can do the same kind of research.
Yeah.
You can see the veracity you want to like build these things with. If your car breaks down when you're an adult and you're like, I don't know how to fix a light bulb.
Yeah. Problem solving.
But they don't, a lot of times I feel like kids don't get that. They don't bridge that gap.
Yeah. Yeah. I think kids that play video games these days, like they spend so much time on YouTube. They spend so much time on YouTube and I mean, TikTok, but like a lot of gamers, like just this, their game is up and YouTube is up and they're looking up the next build. They're looking up the next meta, the next thing, like how to play the best in game. And then when their car breaks down, they just go how to fix a, you know, whatever.
I'm amazed that they don't do that though. A lot of them don't do that. Yeah. A lot of them do not bridge that gap. But dude, you know how much time and energy you spend trying to do the build for your warlock, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hours you spend on that. And I said, you can't figure out how to change a tire?
Yeah, but once they I feel like once they do learn that once,
yeah,
then they're like, oh, that was cool.
I can totally do that. Ian did that. He flipped that switch.
You know how to change a tire?
A couple years ago.
Just kidding.
The first time I ever changed my own tire, where I wasn't helping out my grandpa, because the first tire I ever changed was my grandpa when we were moving him from Southern California up to Washington, and we had to change his tire like 4 times because he definitely overweighed his trailer. Because he's like, well, my truck can tow it. Well, your trailer can't hold the weight. But
I think I was 26 when I changed my first tire. And I never had to. And then my thing was, the only thing is, am I using this car jack right? My father-in-law was down the road. I said, look, I'm going to change it myself. But can you come down here and just make sure this car's not going to fall on me? And he was super cool and helpful, but
Harmony changed my first Titan in the truck. She was like 18. and something like that. I got a flat tire on my Titan, and I'm like, I looked right at her and says, "You know how to change the tire?" She's like, "No." Go, "Well, you're gonna learn today." Because that's what I mean about growing up is you. There are all these experiences that you have to learn. It takes time. Yeah, you just don't have all these things happen every day where you can really build that. You know, Ian, I always talk about, you know, expanding a circle. Like rings on a tree. Every time you do something new, you've expanded your circle. Every time you have to experience something new, you expanded your circle. And so doing that kind of stuff, it just takes time. It takes a lot of time. Sure. And so, but I think planting the seeds is the most important thing. And something that I think that you guys do really well is you plant the right seeds and not just seeds. But so I'm really, really happy with that. And, you know, but like I said, I'm going to try to find unique ways to support you.
Cool.
But just reach out and say, hey, these are the things we're doing. And we'll find ways because we do billboards, we do stuff on radio stations, we do a lot of different things that we can help support what you do.
Cool.
Thanks, man. I'm kind of a kind of a ground marketing minded person. Guerrilla marketing is what they call it. And so big into handshakes, but community marketing.
Cool.
So we do collaborations like our beer you see here.
Yeah.
We did a collaboration with Kicking Cancer, Salem Capitals, and
I really like it.
And San Ian Brewing, you know, and it's just our way of bridging the community. And so their community comes part of our community comes part of their community, et cetera, so on. So same thing with you. And so and we didn't really get to talk too much about Jesus here, you know.
Hey, I mean,
you
kind of right,
didn't have that on the table, really.
here's my thing. Here's how I approach Jesus. He's the most important thing I could talk about, and I want to make sure people know that. But I also know that not everybody wants to talk about him. So I just open the door for those who are willing. And Jesus had this cool thing he said. I think it was his way of telling his disciples his followers to slow down. He would be like, "Man, he who has an ear, let him listen." What he's basically saying is like. One of his disciples named Peter, he's like, "Dude, Peter, shut up. Not everyone wants to hear you ramble all the time." So he would remind them, "He who has an ear, let him listen." So if there's somebody that wants to talk about Jesus, reach out and I will. And if you don't, let's play some Fortnite.
Yeah. I think just people around you that understand that's how you walk and that's what you do, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Because I think to be consistent with that walk. And that's hard. And when you're not, to admit it. And I hope that's another thing that the young man I mentor would know, that I'm always trying to walk in step with the way Jesus did, but I'm going to fail a lot. And when I do, I hope I can at least set the example of how to respond to that failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nope, I think it's awesome, and cool. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. It's been great.
And then, so another way you can learn more about what Jamie does and is satellitegaming.net.
Yep.
And for all of you people like Mike out there that can't spell satellite for whatever reason and relies way too much on his phone to help spelling, it's SATELLITE gaming and GAMING.net. And so that's satellite gaming. And
And our website's actually being rebuilt right now. So pretty excited about that.
So you're going to get there and it's going to say error 404.
It's up right now, but it's going to be one day you're going to look at it and it's going to look like the OG website. And the next day you're going to look at it, it's going to look a little newer and fresher. So hope for that. And then you can find us on, I would say, Instagram. For those of you that are on Facebook, just Satellite GG or just search Satellite Gaming and it should show up.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that when you start creating that nucleus that you can type in two letters and it takes you there.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure once they get to the SATEL, it probably may help.
Yeah, it'll help. And especially if they're local here because it'll pick up local accounts. But I will say one thing that's been interesting is our social media platforms, we're also on Discord. So message us on, it's a little harder to send Discord links the way it works. But man, if you're a young person, you like to play games, just you're an adult in the community that wants to hang out, join the Discord server. Just reach out to us on our Instagram or Facebook. We'll hook you up with the link. But what I would say is we've purposefully not had a massive online presence. And it's because we have so many local opportunities. What was happening was we were promoting online a lot. And we got a lot of inquiries over COVID. And I traveled the world. I traveled to Brazil, South Korea, South Africa, do a lot of trainings. I was in LA, Texas. I'll be in Denver and Florida this year. I travel a lot and teach people how to do this. And I speak on these topics. Mm-hmm. It's really passionate to me. But the reason we didn't have such a strong online presence was we were getting so many opportunities that it was distracting us from the kids in our local community.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we don't want to have mission drift. We care about these local kids. So I had a guy actually here in town with Sam Leadership Foundation, Sam Skiller, and he said, "Jamie, is your desire to expand, is that entrepreneurship or is it ministry? Is it community? So he helped me understand, like, there is a very good side of expanding that is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to do that, you do that. But if what you're trying to focus on is community and really impacting lives, focus on doing that local before you do that anywhere else. And that really stuck with me. And I appreciate Sam for that. And because of that, I think we established a really strong foundation. And now that we have that and we're beginning to train people around the world, it's forcing us to step up our online presence. So mm-hmm. hopefully people will catch on to that. We'll see. Yeah,
it's one brick at a time.
Yeah, man. You got it. Cool.
Well, all right. We'll finish it up here and let Jamie get on to his regular life. And we appreciate him taking time. And And then I'm terrible at any of these things. And so I'm like, you know.
All right. So I'll wrap it up. Thank you, Jamie, for coming by. This is the Odd Pod episode. This
7,200,000.
I don't know. No, we're not that. I don't even know. I got to figure out. You know, what's bad about this is we're going to end this, and I'm going to try. I have notes over here. I have the gentleman that helps me with this stuff, and he wrote me notes. Mike, turn on the computer. Mike, turn on. Oh,
yeah. You know, there's a YouTube video that can teach you that.
Thanks for listening to the show. Check out the liner notes to see where you can follow us on all of our social medias. Or go to oddmostpizza.com if you're local and want to place an order. We'll be back next time with more shenanigans. This was the Odd Pod.